Amen. Thank you, Hatchers. Good job. And love the words of that song and how grateful we are for that. Happy Mother's Day to all of you mothers this morning. And we are grateful to celebrate this day with you. My mother has gone the way of the earth. And so I have nobody to take to lunch or do anything special with. And so I don't say that for sympathy. I say that to tell you that my sermon I prepared is about 2 hours. I don't have to go anywhere. I don't have nothing to do today. And so fasten your seatbelts. I'm just joking. It won't be. They got nervous. There's some people that laughed and other people got really angry. So there was a elementary teacher who was teaching the children about magnets. And in teaching about magnets, she was teaching how there is a positive and negative side. And when it came time for the test, she wrote, "What is a six-letter word for something that picks stuff up?" And 50% of the class wrote mother. And a mother picks up things physically, maybe laundry, maybe toys, but also spiritually and emotionally. A mother is a wonderful, wonderful thing that God has provided, and they pick us up in so many ways. Today we look at the familiar passages of Scripture in Proverbs 31, and I just want to talk about what mothers do today. What mothers do. Now, I realize that there are men and folks here who are not mothers, but this would have spiritual implication because I believe that these things that God talks about a woman being and a mother being, that they are things that all believers ought to be. But today we honor, and there's nothing wrong with that, specifically mothers, and speak to them. And so we look here at God's description of a mother, but then we talk about what mothers do through a familiar story of the Bible. So stay with me, and I will give you plenty of time for Red Lobster and Outback and Applebee's and whatever it might be, or grilling, or whatever you might be doing. I'll leave plenty of opportunity for that. And I want to give this side note. Next Sunday, we begin our revival services with Pastor Kelly McInerney. He is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church, Savannah, Georgia. There he has been for nearly 9 years now. He was the founding pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Wilmington, Ohio, where I was trained and served and where Chandra and I went to church for many years. And he took that church and planted it in 1995, grew it to over 1,000 people. And then the Lord carried him away to Georgia to go there and revive a church there. And so he'll be with us next Sunday, my mentor and the person that I call pastor. So I pray that you'll be with us next Sunday morning. He'll be a blessing to you. We've got prizes that Pastor Xavier will talk about at the end. But I would encourage you to come and you'll have a great time. We even upped the ante this year. We are having a dinner before every evening service. And so next Sunday night, beginning at 4 p.m., we'll have supper. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 6 p.m., we'll have supper. And so we are trying to woo you any way we can to come in here. And so free food is, that's my love language, amen. And by my account, most Baptists, that's part of your love language as well. Proverbs chapter 31, we are just going to major on the 10th, 11th and 12th verses this morning for just a few moments. Proverbs 31, 10, 11, and 12. If you are able and willing, stand with me for the reading and honor of God's word and hold your Bible and keep it there today because we'll not move too much. The Bible tells us, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that she shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. As the grass withereth and the flower thereof fades, the word of our God shall stand forever." Father, I pray that we be not only hearers of your word today, but doers also. In the name of the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Verse number 10 speaks about her price. When we talk about a mother, we talk about her price, and we don't see your price in Prada or Gucci or Chanel or Louis Vuitton. We see your price as God sees it, God's description, as a virtuous woman. In verse 11, we see her perfection. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. Now, the word husband is used, but for women, it literally is the entire family can trust in her. In verse number 12, we see her plan. She is an asset to the family and not a liability, we see. But I want to look at this and see a few things this morning. In verse 10, God's description and what God says that a mother does is what we find here in verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? Now, many have preached this, and ladies have had bags and Bible studies, but the word virtuous in the Hebrew is not the word for virtue that you're thinking that it is. The word for virtue literally means that she is an army, that she is a band of strength to her family. She has the foresight to provide for her family's needs no matter what it takes. And so number one this morning, what a mother does is a mother is tough. I don't know too many people on this earth who are as tough as a mother. Now, I have had the good fortune or misfortune, depending on who you are and your stomach, to see all four of my children be born. And when Grayson was born, I realized I don't want to mess with that woman because she's much tougher than I'll ever be. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. When I get the man flu, I'm going to cry all week long. Amen. But a mother is a tough being. And I back that up, and I tell the children at church all the time when they ask me something, and I say, your mom said no, and Pastor Bryson listens to mommies, because I have learned that a mother is a tough thing. You know, one of the toughest things that I've watched mothers go through is that a mother for a good 8, 9, 10 years is not allowed to shower by herself. She's not allowed to go to the restroom by herself because there's always someone beside them looking, and that takes a tough creature to deal with, because when you're a father, you just kind of get on up out of here. We kind of finished with that. But a mother's love is such that she is so tough, and she's like, a mother is like more than one person. She's like a band, an army, a toughness. I don't know if it works like this for you, but my wife still to this day with my older children, she cannot go to sleep and she cannot fall asleep until she knows that they are all safe at home. Which takes a certain toughness, because now that they're older, they may come in later, and I've been long asleep, and I'm like, I'll hear the ring alarm when they show up, and I'll know they're safe. But she has to stay awake, but then still able to get up and perform the task that she has to the next day. There's almost a supernatural power and toughness in a mother. We call this this innate motherhood that women have, that men just don't have, this maternal instinct, and I'm so thankful that they have this maternal instinct. Because I'll tell you right now, I don't have it. I wake up and I say, what time did the kids get home? She said, 1, 2 o'clock. I said, I said, you stayed up the whole time? Yeah, better than me. Because I was fast asleep. I said, they're okay? Yeah, okay. Moving on. A mother is tough, and she must be tough. A virtuous woman is a band of an army. Look at verse 21 in Proverbs 31. She is not afraid of the snow for her household. For all her household are clothed with scarlet. The Bible literally tells us that she's so tough that in her foresight, she has prepared and made preparation. She has planned for whatever may be thrown her way, and she's willing to do whatever it takes, whatever the family needs to provide to make sure and ensure that the family has all that they need. A mother is tough. Number two, we see that a mother is trustworthy, that she is family first. In verse 11, it says, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that she shall have no need of spoil. The whole family can trust her. She is reliable financially. She's reliable spiritually. She's reliable physically. She is reliable sexually. She is reliable in all things. She is trustworthy, a real good mother. Nobody has to worry about what she's doing because they automatically know that she's doing the right thing. I have you to remember that God created a woman to be a helpmeet to the husband, but outside of that, as a mother, when Bible says that Eve says that I have gotten a man from the Lord, Adam didn't say he got anybody, but Eve says I have gotten a man from the Lord. She took on a responsibility. She took something that even the man in his own power could not take on by himself, because it takes a mother to really take and take that family and mold it and to really be that trustworthy piece. And when you have a mother who is that and is sold out to the cause of her family, there's nothing like it. I worry about this these days. Sometimes you have these mothers and they're worried about their life and they're worried about fun and they're worried about investing in themselves. And I got news for you, ladies. When you become a mother, your fun days are over. You've now taken on a responsibility, and you say, well, what about the father? Well, this ain't Father's Day. I'm talking to you. Because, you know, Father's Day, y'all cook a little piece of meat and drop on the ground, and you dust off and give it to us. Just take whatever you want. Mother's Day, y'all here at church, and y'all sitting there. Father's Day, church be empty. Don't nobody care about Father's Day. They're just, what up, dog? You know what I mean? We going on about our business. But Mother's Day is serious business and special, and I'm glad that it is, but I want you to understand that motherhood is a responsibility, and your life has ended, and now you live for your children. Now, you'll get it back eventually, but for this period of time that you are raising your children, this period of time that you have these young ones who were in you, who came out of you, it is now for you to be trustworthy and to put the family first. You say, Pastor, does that mean that I can't work or that I have to stay home or homeschool? It doesn't mean any of those things. Is that right in the Lord? Is that something that doesn't matter to me? Not my business. But what I will say to you is this, that it is absolutely 100% God's description of a woman here, that she be trustworthy, that she can be counted on for all things. Sometimes I think that means you might have to step up and work. Sometimes I think that may mean you have to stay home. Sometimes I might think that might mean you have to homeschool. Whatever it takes, the Bible says that is the woman's role, and from the very beginning to be an helpmeet unto not just her husband, but the entire family unit. You say, well, I still look good out here, and I still want to be dressed, and I still want to have this, and I want to have that. Oh, ladies, let me tell you, and I'm going to say this kindly, but don't you be looking good and dressed good and smelling good, but your kid's out here looking like a wreck. Well, somebody must have felt me this morning. I got a lot of amens on that. That wasn't even my notes. That just came out through the Holy Spirit. But it sounds like the Holy Spirit is witnessing. Maybe you know somebody. Don't you have your kids out here looking like Who Shot John and looking trifling, but you all together. Because they are the direct reflection of you. Because nobody ever sees your kids dressed cute at church and say, your daddy did such a good job. They say, did your mommy get you dressed? We don't get no credit. And when it's wrong, we get all the credit. Amen? For a few years, I took my daughters to school and I had to do their hair, and I got all the credit for how bad it was. They say, they was getting made fun of at school. They say, who did your hair? They said, my dad. I was going into the school with like the walk of shame. The teachers were looking at me like, just ridiculous. I can't believe you would do them girls' hair like that. You try to do it. Detanglers and wet brushes and all kinds of stuff. You try to do that little mixed kid hair. Don't need no white girls trying to tell me about hair. We don't got hair, we got hair, amen. Sick of it. Y'all trying, these old little teachers are looking at me all crazy. I said, my wife is white and she had to learn how to do it. She didn't know either, okay? And we learned together what it looks like. Don't judge me because it looks like this. Then Savannah got old enough to do their hair. And even though she could do it, they say, who taught you how to do your hair? My mommy. I did YouTube videos and tutorials and everything trying to learn how to get it slick back just right. Amen. I got one thing. Pull it back. Put something in the front. You know what I'm talking about? That's all I got. Okay. Taught myself how to braid and everything. I tried to get a couple twists in my head, but it just didn't. It was already too far gone. Amen. Amen. Mother is just a trustworthy. She takes care of things. She takes care of the things that people may not often see. She takes care of the things that people may not even often know. She takes care of the details of the family. And I'm going to say this to you fellas, and just let the mothers have their day. They're just better at that than us. Now, maybe not everywhere, but here at Assurance Baptist Church, I just look around and I thank God that y'all's kids got a mother, amen. I say, oh Lord. Now some of y'all, I think to myself, like, you husbands are your wife's other child, amen. And I think to myself, Lord, I'm so glad. I bet you they cut your food in pieces for you and take the crust off your bread. I bet you when you're at home. And I thank God that there's a mother out there that takes care of the details that can be trusted. But I want you to see that number three, a mother is thankworthy. She is to be praised. She is to be given thanks unto. And in verse 12, it talks about she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. But look at verses 28 through 31. These majority verses here that people always look at in this virtuous woman, but it's speaking specifically of the mother. It says, when her children rise up and call her blessed, and her husband also, and he praiseth her. Fellas, you ought to tell your wife thank you just for being a mother to your children every once in a while. And if you're not married to your baby mama, you ought to get it inside of yourself if she's been a good mother to tell her thank you as well. Because she is to be praised. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Oh, I'm about to hurt somebody's feelings today. And I didn't mean to on Mother's Day, but I just want you to hear me. As beautiful as you are right now, as good looking as you might be right now, someday you're going to have to dye your hair. Someday you're going to have to draw your eyebrows in. Someday you're going to have more medicine bottles than makeup vials. Someday, as annoyed as you are with your children's potty breaks, you'll take as many as they're taking right now. And all that beauty, all that stuff you got right now, you got it going on. And you're looking at your kids and say, she get it from her mama. And she might, but eventually you will get older. These things will age. But the one thing that you can always be thanked for is that you fear the Lord. And that is why it says she will always be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. You ever seen an old picture? I'm talking about somebody that's born prior to 1970, and generally all their baby pictures and these things are black and white, and you can't tell. And you see somebody that makes somebody in this current day, somebody that's in their 60s or 70s or 80s, and you see this old picture of them, and you're like, I don't know who that is. And then you look and you be like, oh, snap, Miss Sally had it going on. Because you only seen it when she's 75, 80 years old, and you can't recognize that. But then you see an old picture of it, and you be like, my dog had a dime piece. You know what I'm talking about? My homie, do it. You see the husband, you're like, look at him. Shorty had it going on. You want to know something? Beauty and the way you look and the things you have are all vain. But someone, a woman, the Bible says, his description, but a woman. Notice it says but. Remember I've told you before, I know it's Mother's Day, so I'm going to keep this one clean. But, you know, sometimes there's big buts in the Bible. Amen. I ain't going to say nothing else. He says, but a woman. That's a big but in the Bible. He said, oh, you look good. You've done virtuously. You got favor with people. You got beauty. You've been an independent woman. I-N-D-E-P-E-N-D-E-N-T. Do you know what that means? She got it. Oh, y'all don't even need to go there today. Club ABC sometimes just pops in my head and just is what it is. She got all those things going on for her, but none of that matters more than the fact that she feareth the Lord. Oh, what a thankful thing it is to have a mother who fears the Lord. The statistics are beginning to be flipped on their head where it says that if daddy goes to church, the kids go to church. And I still believe that in some way. But the statistics, because of what's going on, I was telling the youth this morning, you know, androgyny and all that stuff is out. And we're not going to mess around with what boys are, what girls are, because we sit here in this Bible-believing church and we just understand that the days of Prince and the revolution and boys wearing makeup and hair long and that being something cool is going away. But listen to me, and I want you to hear me very clearly this morning. I'm so thankful that there's a distinguishing mark between male and female, but I am also thankful that the world is being flipped on its head, that even when daddy don't go to church, if mama will fear the Lord, the children will follow her and will do what mama does. And I'm thankful for that, because if the men don't want to do it, I'm thankful that a woman can be trusted, that a woman can be tough enough, and we ought to thank them for it this morning. Oh, listen to me. If you're a single mom in this place this morning, I praise God for you. Amen. If you're a mom in here and your husband don't go to church with you, I thank God for you. If you're a grandma in here and your kids don't go to church, but you show up faithfully, I thank God for you, because God never says that a mother can't be an example. Even though a wife is not the head of the household, he didn't say that you just sit by idly and don't lead in anything. And I'm so thankful today, and we ought to be thankful for them, no matter where they are in their life, no matter what they look like. We ought to be thankful. She is worthy to be praised, and her price is far above rubies. Her price is far above what we can pay for. Oh, you might take her this afternoon over for a Culver's milkshake in concrete. You might take her down to Bob Evans. You might take her over to Perkins, but listen to me, but her price is above those things. Her price is more glorious than rubies. You can't even afford to pay your mama as much as you owe her today. We ought to be thankful for her. Now I'm going to close in about 20 minutes. But how does one know? Because I've seen and heard women walking around and they carry this Proverbs 31, and I've heard guys say, I'm glad I got a Proverbs 31 woman. And I'm looking at her, I'm going, you don't fit the description of what God calls it. But let me uplift you, mother, and give you something today from the Bible. It's how do we know that one is virtuous, with that last thought first being that she feareth the Lord. But inside of fearing the Lord, there's three questions that every mother must ask herself today. Turn your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 4, 26 through 28. Don't be nervous. I have two texts, but I do not have two messages. 2 Kings 4 and 26. This story, Elisha, the student of Elijah, is now moving to Shunem and going around. And he has a servant named Gehazi, and in this story, he goes through a town, and there's a godly woman here, a mother. She's a woman. She's a wife, but she's not a mother. And in this story, she goes to her husband and says, we need to build a loft so when the man of God comes through here, he has somewhere to stay. And they put a little lamp and a little bed up in the loft and say, this is a place for you to come and get away, Elisha, when you come. And Elisha is thinking to himself, well, what is it that we can do? She didn't ask for anything. And Gehazi, his servant, says, there's got to be something that this woman wants or we can do for her. And they find out and they say she's barren, and God has not opened her womb. She has no children. And so they entreat the Lord, and the woman bears a son. And so the story, you can read it for yourself in 2 Kings chapter 4, but we're just going to read a couple of verses. And at this point, the woman has had a child. He's lived some years, and he's a lad and small enough that he's able to fit on her lap still, so maybe 6-7 years old. But one day when the reapers come and they're picking up the food and doing these things, he's either playing or he's going out there and reaping with his father. He says, Father, my head, my head. He has some kind of a sunstroke and goes down, and his father says, take the boy to his mother. And he goes back to lays on his mom, and a couple hours later, he lays there and dies. But the mother gets one of the servants and says, put him on the tracks and the train and get him to the man of God. I want you to bypass the doctors. I want you not to stop for anything. Just get him to the man of God. And she gets near, and Elisha sees her coming, and he says, I don't know what she's coming, but Gehazi, I want you to go down and ask her a couple of questions. And this is where we pick up in the story. He says, run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, it is well. And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul was vexed within her. And the Lord hath hid it from me and hath not told me. He has no idea that the little boy has died. Then she said, did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? Now, in this story, she's eventually gets the man of God to go with her, and he lays upon the boy, and the boy comes back to life and lives. But that's not what I want you to see today, mothers. What I want you to see is the three questions that you must ask yourself today in order for you to be the three things that God says back in Proverbs 31, in order for you to be tough enough, in order for you to be trustworthy, in order for you to be thanked, you've got to ask yourself these questions. I always say, you can't take care of anybody else if you're not okay. The first thing he asked her is it well with you? Mama, let me ask you today, is it well with you? She's a woman of faith, but some of you are sitting here today and you're not saved. And so my question to you is, if you're a woman in this room or a man in this room, is it well with you? That means, have you been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ? Have you been washed in the blood? Is there a time and place in your life where you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and you just didn't accept him there, but from that day on you followed him? Is it well with you? But I would ask some of you saved mothers, is it well for you? Because notice the woman lied. She says, it is well. Now, sometimes we see that it is a lie, but sometimes we see that as her just being godly and faithful, and she's telling the servant, and she gets to the man of God. But what I think that she was doing is what many mothers do, is she was just putting her family first and all those things first, and so she didn't care if it was well with her, because the real thing she wanted was for her to be able to talk to the man of God and say, why would my son die after I begged and cried for him? She's not looking for herself as much as she's looking for her son. But I ask you today, is it well with you? If you need spiritual growth, if you need spiritual firming, if you need spiritual emboldening today, I pray that you would say as a mother that you would take a time out from your mothering and just make sure that it's well with you. Hey, listen, I've learned this. When mama's not right, the whole family's jacked up. It may not be spoken out loud, but there'll be signs. At my house, it shows up in freezer food. Amen. When mama's not well, I better warm them pizza rolls up. Hot Pockets? Anyone? I make a mean Hot Pocket, amen. My kids don't like pot pies. Hey, you ever had a banquet pot pie? They say, well, mama ain't right. We full of budget gourmet, amen. Mama ain't right, there'll be signs. Now my kids are older now, but when they were young, laundry everywhere. Well, mama ain't right, no groceries in the pantry. I said, Dad, where are you going to go to the store? Here's how I go to the store when my kids was little and they hungry. Well, what time McDonald's close? Amen? Mama, I ask you, is it well with you today? Let me encourage you and pray for you and let you know that your pastor is here, and I want you to know that it can be well with you today. And if you're not saved, it's not well with you today, but it can be. The second thing he asks, is it well with your husband? Now, if you don't have a husband, maybe this matters none to you, but what he's saying is she ran here for a reason. And there's other people in her life that are important. So he asks first, is it well with you? But then he says, is it well with your husband? Because your husband outranks your children in the sense of God says you become one flesh. And so in this sense, he's saying, is it okay with him? And she said, nobody wasn't worried about him. He grown. He says, is it well with the child? But here's where she lies. The child's dead. And she says, it's well. Now, here's my estimation and understanding. I believe that she knew if she just got to the man of God, that even though at the moment the child wasn't well, that if she could just get to God, she had enough faith to believe that he would be okay. Put that with what we saw, why a woman should be thanked is because of above all other things, above what she looks like, above what she does, is the fact that she fears the Lord. A godly mother we see in this story depends upon the Lord and won't leave the Lord alone, not even for her own sake, not even for her husband's sake, but for her children's sake, she will refuse to leave the Lord alone. Let me ask you, mother, what do you think is more valuable in your life? To physically take care of your children? To emotionally take care of and love your children? Or is it more important to spiritually, not just, listen to me, I don't just mean spiritually taking them to church, because I'm a pastor, but I understand church does not fix everything and does not solve every problem. That's foolish thinking. When people say Jesus fixes everything, that's a lie, because Jesus doesn't force anybody to fix anything. There is a partnership in that. Could he fix everything? Certainly, but you have some responsibility in that. But mother, today I say to you, are you depending on God for your child's well-being more than you're depending on you for your child's well-being? Pastor, what do you mean? When's the last time you truly besought the Lord on your child's behalf? Hear me. Ask yourself these three questions. Not because it doesn't sit well with you. Not because it doesn't sit well with your husband, but because it doesn't sit well with your child. Sometimes we get into these prayers, you say, I'm praying for my child because I want. I'm just saying, when's the last time you prayed for your child because they need? When's the last time you had to, being a mother, there's lots of sacrifices involved in that. A mother literally gives up her body, not just while the baby's in the womb, but depending on how you feed your child for a period of time after that as well, you give up your body to your child. You literally share an umbilical cord. And I don't need to get into all the science, but spiritually, let me remind you of this. Sometimes you get to a certain age and you say they need to cut the umbilical cord. And what they're saying is they need to get out from underneath their mother, get out and get their own. But you'll never cut the spiritual umbilical cord to your child. No matter how old they get, they call it a mother's love. And I don't have a way to describe the love of God, but the greatest love I can find on earth is the love of a mother for her child. There's no good definition for me to say how much God loves. There's no way for me to quantify. But if I had to look upon the masses, the best that I could possibly do is to say, this is a mother's love. Now, I've watched, my wife is a great mother, but I've watched mothers here. I've watched mothers in my life be sick, and the rest of the family is sick, and the mom just can't be sick. She's still cleaning up. She's still taking care of. She's still doing all the things that moms do. She just can't be sick, and everybody's looking at mom. Everybody just expects mom. But let me tell you today, that's why we ought to be thankful for mom. Sometimes we are out there and Everybody else will leave you. I'm going to tell you something. See, some of y'all young fathers, your kids are little and you don't understand this yet, and you're going to, but some of you other fathers that are older or have older kids, you know this. When your kids get to a certain age, you love them, but you're all good with like them going on to live their life. You kind of get to that point where you're like, yeah, that's like the passage, right? The rite of passage. But a mom don't work like that. I know women that have been empty nesters for 40 years and they still talking about my baby. He's 62. Because a mother's love is different. A mother's love just endures things that a father's love just can't compare to. A mother's love is just tougher than a father's love sometimes. You know, you go to your father and you say, can I borrow some money? Your daddy says, I ain't got no money. What's the next step you take? Mom? She said, well, I do have a few dollars. I just said no. Just tougher, because they'll do without. Anybody grow up in a family? I didn't grow up like this, but my father did. I heard him talk about this. Anybody grow up in a family where daddy gets the big piece of chicken? Or where dad eats first, or where the mother serves the father. Anybody grow up in a family like that? Yeah, that's, I mean, it doesn't have to be old school. It can be you now. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Anybody grow up like, I didn't grow up like that. That's not how my family works. It doesn't matter. But a mom does it different. I know mothers who, when they're down on their luck, they don't eat at all so that their children have. I see mothers sometimes, this is how I know you would be a good mother, when your kids is decked out but you look nasty. Your hair ain't right, your makeup ain't did, and I don't judge you, it's because I know you've been dealing with them little demons all day long. Come in here and say, I didn't paint my face today, my hair ain't right, and my clothes is from Goodwill, but my kids look good. And you know what I'd be thinking to myself? I'd be like, what a good mother. Because God forbid you come in here looking good, but your kids look ragged, because then I'm looking at you, I'm going, why would you? Because a mother will sacrifice, won't she? She's tough, but she's trustworthy. You know, you don't have to worry about mama. You don't have to worry about what she's doing, who she's talking to, where she's going. You don't have to worry about how she's spending money. You don't have to worry about her emotionally. You don't have to worry about her spiritually. She's just always even keel. She's always doing the right thing. This is mother. This is what it looks like. She's not too high. She's not too low. And she just is the person who, if the father is the one that's supposed to set the standard, the mom is the one who helps everybody live up to it. But then she's to be thanked. We have a Mother's Day, and we're celebrating that today. Let me remind you this. Whether your mother's in heaven, whether your mother is here on earth, whether you don't talk to your mother, whatever it is, everyone in this room is either a mother or has a mother or someone who has mothered them. And let me remind you, if you got a godly one, the Bible says that she excelleth them all. That she's better than anything you got in this life. She's better than any gift. She's better than any amount of money. She's better than anything that you could possibly get in this life. Until you have your own wife or until whatever, listen, she's the best thing. And even after you have your own wife or your own husband, listen, your mama will always be that one person. You know what's cool about a mom? In any realm, even in the animal world, a mom is the only creature on earth, the only one on earth that can literally say something like this. This is why I like when moms get real serious. I carried you for 9 months. That's a guilty saying, ain't it? I told y'all, my mama, she was crazy. And anyway, but she used to say stupid stuff like that to me all the time. Like, you can't clean your room. She was a manipulator. I didn't know it was called toxicity, but that's what it was. But anyway, but she was like, oh, I can't believe you won't clean your room. I carried you for 9 months. Mom, I'ma clean this stuff up. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, dang it. Like, had me singing Tupac, dear mama. You know what I'm talking about? I'm gonna go ahead and clean it up. Like, I can't believe nobody, talking to me and my sister, I can't believe nobody could do these dishes. I toiled all night on that meal and nobody couldn't do these dishes. Mama, you know, I'm gonna go ahead and get that Don out. You did carry me 9 months. That is true. That is right. You know what I mean? Let me say this to you. Mothers, from the bottom of my heart to you today, thank you. For you godly mothers, thank you for being tough. Just dealing with us, dealing with people when you don't want to deal with them, and just being there. Thank you for being trustworthy. Thank you that we can depend on you, you're reliable. Just thank you, most importantly, but above all things, listen, thank you for just being godly and for fearing the Lord. I can't prove it, but tonight when the kids come in for Awana, the majority of them Awana verses that get finished is because there's a mom at home working on them Awana verses. Now, some of you fathers say, well, that's me. Like I told you, it ain't your day. Father's Day come, I'll say something nice about you too, but... But today, my estimation is there's a lot of mothers in this church raising them children up to do godly things and to say godly things. And the reason why I believe that is because I know their daddies. And I know they didn't get it from them. Thank you, mothers. Thank you for being a mother. And thank you for knowing that God had a plan for you. Whatever that plan is, thank you for following through and doing what God has called you to do, which is being a mom. Let's go to the Lord in prayer today. Father God, I thank you for mothers today.